Hey, everybody, welcome back to the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And we are very pleased to come to you as part of the Variety Sports Network. Great group of folks there. And thanks so much to them for being on board with us. And welcome, everyone, whether you're watching live or you catch up with us a little bit later on YouTube or even just the audio. We are grateful for you doing so, and would like to welcome in Mr. Scarpino, who I might add got on here like literally as I started the roll of the intro, because I thought I was going to be doing this sucker by myself for a brief minute. I have no idea where Ben is. He's probably at some Super Suckers concert right now. heavily intoxicated again or something. Who the hell knows? But Scarps, how are you this fine May evening?
Not too bad.
Yeah,
not too bad. Fatherhood has been quite the adventure. He's 6 weeks on Saturday.
6 weeks on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it.
Crazy, man.
Probably wow. Already stealing the booze out of your cabinet and running around the house.
Yeah, you know, he's starting slow. He's just learned how to cut the grass, you know, probably work his way to drywalling, maybe something like that in the next month.
Drywalling.
I usually do wear a hat, but it's been a while since I haven't worn one, but whatever, your loss or my loss, whatever.
It's something like that. What are you drinking tonight? You looks like you got a little fruit punch concoction there.
Yeah, it's a little gin and cranberries. Like,
oh, well, you know, you can't go wrong with that. That's just a nice, tasty treat right there, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the thing is now with a kid is that I can just have like two and go to bed. Before, I didn't know how to shut it off. It's been It's been a learning experience, but
I'll bet, man.
Yeah,
I'll bet.
I do like some gin. So,
the last two comments, Ben hasn't stopped drinking since Mason was re-signed, and Berner coming in strong. Ben had another Coldplay concert.
Speaking of Coldplay,
oh boy, here we go. Here we go.
Those on the show know I do like tunes.
Oh yeah, you're a big tunes guy.
So they're not married anymore, but the lead singer of Coldplay was married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
And
during that trial, that recent civil suit, like just like her attitude and demeanor and approach, she just looked like the worst human being ever. And I never ever thought I'd side with Coldplay, but I totally understand why they're not married anymore. That had to have been horrible.
She's an odd duck. I mean, she does some really weird, like, health stuff.
I think she drinks her own urine, doesn't she?
It's something really odd like that.
Don't be spreading rumors. I don't
know.
To
each their own, first of all. Whatever mm-hmm. you choose to do, it's your life, everything else, no problem. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to comment on it if it's a little maybe outlandish. But, anyway, people are not here to catch up on the latest entertainment news. And we need to get to talking some Steelers. And Ryan, the first thing I'm going to ask you is, and this, I've had this from several people this week, and I don't really know quite how to answer it. Is what Omar Khan and company is what they're doing that drastically different from what Kevin Colbert has done in the past, or does it just seem that way? I mean, I think fans just are really curious. It seems like everything he does, he he's much more active. He's more willing to sign people. He just, I don't know. Lay it out for me. Uh-oh. Did I lose the Scarps, man? I think I did. Man, I was right in the middle of my question. That sucked.
I'm back.
No, you're back, buddy. You're back. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Yeah. let me strike that, reverse it. I think it's a combination of both. I think they've been the most active since, you know, as long as I can remember, most active off season. But I don't necessarily know that the draft approach or the free agency approach was any different. I also think too that like this is Omar's first year, so I think everything that he does is going to be overanalyzed and evaluated probably far more. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about moving up in the first round or moving back in the first round, you know, Casey Hampton, Troy Polamalu, you know, both under GM Casey. Yeah, then he even moved up to get Devin Bush. But yeah, I would say that the other thing too that is different is that Omar is definitely out there more than Kevin was. Kevin was and I don't mean this in a way that Omar is high maintenance, but Kevin was like very low maintenance. He didn't like to do too much. He always wanted to let Art or coach speak for it. And then pretty much once the season started, Kevin didn't talk. So Kevin would make his rounds during the draft, and then he talked to guys during training camp, but that was it. But Omar, he's been on Pat McAfee. He was very vocal last year in training camp, as you remember. He was talked about the DJ extension before that even broke. Obviously, like he wanted to be a little bit transparent. And so overall, I don't necessarily know that they're doing anything crazy or doing anything different. I just think that because it's Omar's first year, I think that, you know, everything he does is going to be based on something that there's not a bar, right? There's no bar, right? It's the first time with Omar. Like, so it's not like we compare him to anything, because I bet you next off season we're gonna be like, oh, he's not doing anything. You know,
absolutely.
But I also say too that for being a first year GM, I think Omar has done very well. I think that his staff has done very well, and you know, it's gonna take some time to tell if they made the right moves. But one thing that I saw earlier today was they still don't pay their undrafted rookie free high signing bonuses. Like, they're like one of the cheapest teams in the league. Like, some of these high profile undrafted guys come in like a couple hundred K to sign, and the Steelers just do not do that. But you know, I mean, even with the Mason signing, they still lack depth at certain positions, but they have a lot of veterans on. I know this team's young, but they have added a lot of veteran players through free agency. Whether that was early on or, you know, even today they signed a guy that was Dylan Clark. Dylan Cook. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Here's a guy. I can't remember a name. But you know, like,
well,
I mean,
we'll talk about some of these guys that they've brought in just really over the last couple of days. And obviously, Trubisky, an extension today, which I don't know that anybody saw coming, plus Mason back, which I know a lot of people didn't see coming. So we'll cover all that stuff. And I'm old school. I'm get off my lawn guy. And I liked Kevin Colbert talking a couple times a year, and that's it. I liked it, you know, stay in the shadows, do your thing. And, you know, Omar's definitely a little more out front with that. But that's also today's sports. That's today's professional sports arena. These people are so much more out front. They're willing to be, and it, you know, it's not like he's going on Dr. Phil and all the talk shows and everything else. I mean, he's done a couple shows, you know, and so I'm not going to get overly bent out of shape about any of that stuff. But there's no doubt that there is a difference this year with the activity just in terms of what they're doing, who they're signing. We'll get to this running back they signed. He was at the rookie camp last week, and they they gave him a deal. You know, there's just a lot of activity, and I think some people see it as it's like he's trying to just throw darts and see if something connects. Other people are saying, well, no, they're finding talent, and they're going to find a way to use it, and so on and so forth. So, I'd be remiss. Freak jumped on here. Ian is not with us tonight. Ian and the Family Stone have they have the bug going through the house there, and let's just leave it at that. We talked to him several times today, but he'll be back next week, hopefully. And I have no idea where Ben is. I think Ben's like face down in a gutter in Portland or something like that right now. I don't know what the hell he's doing. I thought he was going to be on the show today. Maybe I misinterpreted. But anyway, let's talk about the quarterbacks, because Scarps, if I told you at the end of the 2022 season that the quarterback room would basically be the same in 2023, your reaction would have been?
Surprised. Surprised, but also not surprised. And I say that because, let's start with Mitch. And, you know, for what it's worth, Matt Canada is still the offensive coordinator. And really, I have no idea. I have no idea what the calls are, or what was being told to Mitch or Kenny or anything like that. I don't know. From the outside looking in, it looked as if, you know, early on they told Mitch not to lose the game, and they did the same with Kenny. Mm-hmm. And then Mitch came into that Ravens game and just let it rip, and you know, they ended up being 9-8. But maybe as the season went on. So getting back to it, I think Mitch was hoping that they cut him, mm-hmm. and try to get a job elsewhere.
Right.
But if you look at, you know, if, you know, Carolina took a quarterback, Houston took a quarterback, the Colts took a quarterback, you know, I'll be real. I bet you Mitch had more appeal than Mason, but they're both back. You know, in different circumstances. You know, and I tweeted this twice this week because I think it's very important. And Big Ben's burner brings this up. You know, the Steelers have Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, and Mason Rudolph. 1, 2, 3. Okay, mm-hmm. It is clearly, that is the pecking order. That is clear as day. There, yep. And they got three guys that have each started double digit games in this league, two first rounders and a third rounder with a first round grade. But how many other QB rooms in this league have that type of, how many other QB rooms in this league have three players that have started 10 plus games in this league? I'm not sure many. There is one. I might be wrong, but you know, it's like, so like people were so pissed. Like people were definitely, I think, excited about the Mitch signing today, but yeah. Steelers Twitter was so pissy about the Mason thing. And I'm just like, he is clearly the number three.
Yeah.
The dude has had one of the wildest careers I can remember as a Steeler. And I mean that in like, he's never done anything wrong. Like it's never like nothing he's ever done has been his fault. Like it's just been like, you know, he's getting smacked in the head by Myles Garrett, you know, Ben really never throwing him a bone,
yeah.
You know, basically losing your job to a first rounder, and then, you know, and Mitch Trubisky, like, and the dude just shows up, like no one's ever said a bad word about him. And oh yeah, by the way, he's the number three. Like it's clear as day. He's the number three. Mm-hmm. He's also been here the longest,
yeah,
with Matt Canada, yep. which to me is like, you know, God forbid something happens to Pickett or Trubisky, but like, you know, people always want to point to that Lions game in 2021. Mm-hmm. But you know what? They had one opening drive touchdown all year, and mm-hmm. Mason Rudolph led that through James Washington, who, good for James Washington, just signed with the Saints. He's had a,
yeah,
had a,
yeah,
had a, you know, unfortunately, yeah, never got to see the field last year with Dallas, but I think this is a great problem to have. And it's not even a problem. Like, mm-hmm. like you look back at Ben Leftwich, Batch, or Ben Batch Leftwich, or you look back at Ben Landry Jones, Bruce Gradkowski, like, like Landry didn't even have 10 starts in this league. So like, God, this is like, this is a very good problem to have. And I say problem, you know, and you know what, and if, you know, I bet, you know, whether it's Mitch or Mason, I mean, when you play at this level, you have to be confident in yourself. So there's no shame if Mason, hello, Benjamin, there's no, oh, super suckers. There's no shame if Mason tested the waters and they were and teams just weren't interested. I mean, and I know Ben will say that's because he sucks and Steelers Nation will say that's because he sucks, but it's just like, you know, some, like, I'm going to say this, Steelers Nation also thinks Terrell Edmonds sucks. And he didn't command a big price last year in free agency. And then this year he signed two 1-year prove it deals in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ben, welcome in. It's been a few weeks since we've seen you. We're thrilled that you're wearing your super sucker shirt tonight. Could you just give novices like us the rundown on what exactly the super suckers are?
Yeah, they're a rock and roll band.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. I've seen them in Pittsburgh.
Huh. All right, very good. Yeah, I did not know. I try to stay up on the latest artists and things, but I got to admit that was one that I had not heard of.
Well, they've been around for a while. Okay. I wouldn't really say they ever made it like big.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well, sometimes that's the best though. You know,
that's good.
We've just talked a little bit about, you know, the off season so far that Omar Khan has been having. And we just dove into the quarterbacks here and the fact that, you know, the three guys that were there last year are back. Ben, I would ask you this question. Does Kenny Pickett's concussion issues of last year play into these decisions at all?
Nah. I mean, you want to have a steady backup behind a guy like Pickett who's had a couple of concussions. And, you know, there's no question there. But as far as, like, that being a concern and them bringing Mason back because of that, no. It was just a deal where, honestly, they needed a reliable number three. Okay. And the guy that they're signing is better than the number three they had before. This kid they signed out of Minnesota who lit it up his freshman year. And then the successive 3 years was kind of, you know, he was there. Mm-hmm.
And I saw some people wondering about that, and I'm not making excuses for Tanner Morgan, but I will tell you he had different offensive coordinators for a couple of years there in Minnesota. And as we all know, that can make a difference. But
sure,
I'm not, like I said, not making excuses.
He did enough that they wanted to sign him, and he was a priority free agent. A lot of teams wanted to sign him.
Right.
So, you know, I hopefully they keep the guy and he sticks around for a while and, you know. I don't know. We'll see. But as far as the quarterback room goes, I think they're in pretty good shape right now. I was very surprised that Mitch Trubisky signed an extension.
I think we all were. I didn't really see that coming.
Yeah, I'd heard he wasn't gonna. I heard he was not going to, and I'd heard that. You know, well, he admitted he had seller's remorse.
Yeah.
About signing with the Steelers after the season. So it was a surprise. But as Ian pointed out, you know, he just had a baby. Maybe he's looking for, you know, some more stability and not having to move around. And Dan, the super suckers aren't for everybody, as you know. So I could try and sell people on how great the super suckers are, but unless you actually go, you're not going to fucking get it.
Yeah.
You're just not. I mean,
all right.
These guys they're from Tucson, Arizona. That's where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
They talk a lot of shit about Tucson, and that's kind of what got me attracted to the band in the first place. So,
all right. Well, we'll have to give it a try. The extension obviously helps the Steelers a little bit cap wise. And certainly one of the other things I wanted to get into tonight was Alex Highsmith a little bit, because the media in Pittsburgh feels it's a matter of when, not if, he's going to get an extension.
I mean, I think they want to keep him, but
oh, for sure.
The question is, does he want to test free agency after the year he just had?
Right.
I mean,
does he want to bet on himself this year and say, you know what? I think I can do better than 11 and a half sacks next year. And, you know,
he's a different, he's a totally different player when TJ Watt's on the field. And
for sure.
And
but everybody
I
is.
I think the Steelers know that. So I think the Steelers are smart to throw a number his agent's way and try to see.
Absolutely.
You know, but also with him, and I'd do the same thing. I'd be like,
14
hey,
and a half sacks, excuse me.
Let me see what somebody else wants to offer, because, and then he also, you know, Hey, I don't need TJ. I love TJ as a teammate. I love him. But I don't need him. I mean, I'm going to say this right now. If I got to play with TJ Watt, I'd fucking be like, I don't care if he helps me get 10 sacks. It's not my problem, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's strange because,
I think the number I saw today was of his 14 and a half sacks, only 3.5 came
correct
with Watt not on the field. And if I'm another GM coach looking at that, I'm paying attention to that.
I alluded to all of this during the Pro Bowl voting, and TJ made it and Alex didn't. And the reason that happened is, I mean, TJ didn't do a heck of a lot last year. He probably didn't, you know, really deserve to go to the Pro Bowl, but his impact was reflected on Alex's additional productivity when he was in the game, when he was actually playing.
Right.
And that played into the Pro Bowl voting, and it worked for TJ and against Alex.
Yeah. I don't disagree with that. No, I think that's an accurate assessment. Not surprisingly, this week the Steelers also parted ways with Akello Witherspoon. I always viewed him as a guy, boom or bust probably isn't right. I mean, he made some nice plays at the end of last year, 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2020.
You know, but man, he just got roasted against the Eagles.
Well, tequila tonight. What do you guys think?
Why the hell not?
Never enough.
Why the hell not?
You know, I don't think he was ever healthy last year after September. And,
right.
And
was it a hammy?
Yeah. And if you can't get healthy as a corner, you're not going to be super effective. And they had to make a choice. And he was having a really hard time staying on the field. And it was down. It was between he and Wallace. They were cutting one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Wallace is interesting to me because he does have a little bit of slot experience, doesn't he? I'm not suggesting they're going to use him there all the time,
Maybe he does, but I don't see that guy being a field corner.
No, I'm curious with how that goes, but they did sign this this kid from the XFL, Luke Barcou.
Yeah.
And 6'1", about 185 pounds, a couple years at a JUCO, then he played at San Diego State. Had some injury problems coming out of high school, so he really didn't get any looks, but had a really nice year in the XFL. He's been with like 5 other NFL teams, so I mean this is a long shot guy, big time. And but clearly Witherspoon, I think, you know, that ship has now sailed for sure. What do we think about Hakeem Butler here? What, this is a big dude, 6'5", 220. Came out of Iowa State, really nice year with the XFL this year.
Scarf, it's the XFL. I mean,
well, it is. I'm not denying that.
Yeah. So I don't know. So there are a couple points I want to make, and maybe I'm wrong here, but rookie mini camp, at least when I worked there, wasn't such a big show as it is now. After every rookie minicamp, they'll post like Steelers social will post like a picture of everybody there. And I swear every year it just gets bigger and bigger. And I mean, I'm so old that like, Christ, there was like only, I remember I talk about it, but Terrence Garvin like made the team. He was a tryout. He made the team. Right. He had a really good career. And I remember when that happened, I was like, are you serious? Like, we're signing, like, because it's like, that shit never happened. Like, you brought these guys there.
Wasn't Rosie
like,
Nix a tryout?
I think
he was
Rosie,
a defensive. He was,
I think
a defensive
he was a
lineman.
UDFA.
I think he was a free agent. Yeah, I think he actually was signed.
He was a defensive lineman in college.
Yes, yeah, Kent yes. State.
But over the years, the Terrence Garvins of the world are not rare anymore. You know, they, mm-hmm. you know, it used to be like if you maybe signed a guy that tried out or something like that, that was the news. Now it's like they're signing dudes left and right and cutting dudes left and right. So anyway, getting back to this Hakeem Butler, I mean, I look at it is it like he's not young. He's been around mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe four years. You might have to check me on that. I think he was with the Eagles. I think he had one target or something like that. Anyway, here's a guy.
He's 27.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. He's older, but I always sit there and think like, there's gotta be a reason why he's never caught on somewhere. And I'm not saying he's a bad person mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. that, you know, or, you know, I'm just saying that there's always a reason and we'll never know. Maybe, you know, the personnel people probably do. That being said, they got Allen Robinson, George Pickens, and Deontay Johnson. Yeah. And after that, there's a toss up. So who knows? I really hope Gunnar Olszewski is not on this team.
God, right? What a waste of $2 million.
I know you think Calvin Austin is Tyreek Hill. Calvin Austin III is Tyreek Hill.
Calvin Austin is a question mark.
We have no idea what we're getting with him. So, Sims is gone. People keep saying Anthony Miller, and I'm sitting there thinking like, okay, Anthony Miller is just as much a journeyman as this Hakeem Butler is. So, like, if Hakeem Butler has a good camp and wows some people, and the coaches believe in the guy. Hell, good. I don't give a shit. Like,
no, I'm with you. Just real quick, Scarps. Here's the rundown on Hakeem Butler. He was drafted in the fourth round by the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. Then went to the Panthers, the Eagles. Then he played in Canada for two different teams. And then he ended up on this St. Louis Battlehawks team in the XFL. That's, you know, he had a decent year. And as Ben said, it's the XFL. Let's not get crazy here. But I think they liked him back in 2019 when he was coming out. They liked his size. And so, yeah, you look at the potential lineups they could throw out there. I mean, Jesus, they got some size and athleticism. There's no doubt about that right now. He did have some experience at tight end a little bit. In fact, the Battlehawks used him there a little bit as well. But
the other thing,
I don't know.
I would also just say, too, that – and I think we understand this, and I'm not trying to be rude to like the casual fan, but once you get to camp, and we're not even there yet,
no.
But people get injured in OTAs, people get injured in mini camp before they even get to Latrobe. And when you got when you have to practice, right, and you mm-hmm. already have veterans resting, and then you got guys hurt, you just need bodies. Like I can't tell you the number of times we'd sign a guy for 5 minutes. He'd practice one time and then he'd be cut the next day. So like, I do think Hakeem Butler, based on his size, I mean, mm-hmm. You can't teach size. I mean, maybe somebody should tell Chase Claypool that, but you know, you just never know, man. Like you know, maybe somebody goes down and it creates an opportunity. So,
well, we haven't even gotten to minicamp yet. You're right.
Yeah, and I mean, we even have an OTAs.
Right. Who the hell knows? You know, and you're exactly right. You were closer to it than we were there at camp in Latrobe, and you saw these guys in and out so damn fast. So
yeah, they got to a point where I was like, all right, we signed this guy. I'm not gonna do a bio for him unless he's here for like three practices.
Right.
I'd be like, hey, I'm Ryan from Steelers PR, you know, congrats on signing. And like, this would be at like dinner time. And I'd be like, hey, right. I'd be like, I'm going to write a bio for you. If I have any questions, I'll reach out. And like the next morning, they'd be like, hey, type up a release. We cut this guy. I'm like, damn it. I fucking worked OT, man. Write a bio for this guy. He's not here anymore. Here's a guy that's gone.
Here's a guy that's here and gone. Ben, explain to me why the Steelers signed this young man, this running back out of Morgan State. Was at the rookie camp. They signed him to a 3-year deal. You're on mute, dude.
That was odd, wasn't it?
A 3-year deal. I need you typically to explain that to me.
Typically, those guys get signed to 2-year deals.
Yeah.
I don't exactly understand it. There are probably caveats written into that. So like none of it's guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
He gets cut, he gets nothing. He's got to, I mean, basically 3 years, he is never going to see exclusive free agency.
Mm-hmm.
So they're bypassing it. They're just saying, hey, we're going to sign you to a 3-year deal and you won't be a free agent until you're a restricted free agent, provided you stick around for 3 years.
Yeah.
You make the same amount of money either way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So typically it's like a 2-year deal. Then the guys have got free agency, but they're exclusive rights free agents. So the team can say, we're signing you to this much.
Right.
Or we're not signing you. You're a free agent. Bye. That's the team option. And this time they signed the guy to a 3-year deal. So I don't really know what they're thinking there, except that I think they're just trying to bypass exclusive rights free agency, which mm-hmm. I guess makes sense because if you cut the guy later anyway, it's the same outcome
mm-hmm.
from both a money standpoint and from a free agency standpoint. So
right, that makes sense. I mean, he's got fun tape, but again, he's playing in what do they call that? The MEAC at Morgan State.
The MEAC.
Yeah, he's all a 5'9", 180. I mean, you've already got Najee, you've already got Warren.
I heard he has got returnability.
Yep. Yep.
Hasn't done a lot of it, but he thinks he can, and they think he can.
Yep.
So
the rumor is he's also got really good hands too.
Yeah. So if Danny Smith decides he likes him, he may get kept for that.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank here. Who was the dude? It was like my first year. So like 2009, 2010, the return guy.
Oh,
Stephon Logan.
Stephon Logan. And then he went from the Steelers to the Lions, right?
Yes.
I can't remember.
When he left?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but he did.
In his only year here, he set single season records for like return yards.
Yeah, I went to a Chargers game and was sitting in the front row at about the 40, and he fumbled right in front of me. I was like, motherfucking.
I could see where that reaction would be elicited. For
yeah,
sure.
I was standing behind the Chargers bench. And it was,
Yeah.
He actually had a return touchdown with Detroit, not for the Steelers.
Right.
But he had a pretty decent 4-year stretch for undrafted guy from South Dakota.
You know, speaking of those types of things, Scarps, I know you wanted to give a shout out to a guy that formerly retired today. A scout with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Most fans probably don't really know his name, but they know who he is.
They know the guy.
If they watch the combine, then you know that guy. And Scarps, I'll just let you talk for a minute about him because he's been with Pittsburgh for almost 30 years.
Yeah, Mark Gorzak, you know, we know him as Gores, but he, wonderful dude, a man of the people. He's in the Mon Valley Hall of Fame. He's a local guy, and I don't know if he, you know, if anybody doesn't know this, but he played football at Ringgold, and he was a center.
Oh my God!
For any of you football nuts, especially Western PA football nuts, give you a guess who his quarterback was?
Joe Montana.
So Gores has quite the story. He's been in football a long time. I think 28 years in the NFL.
Yep.
Just a great dude. Always positive. Always upbeat. And you know, personally, Gores has talked me through a variety of times when I was young in my career, and you know, whether I was pissed off or, you know, a little too high, a little too low, he was mm-hmm. always there. And I remember when I left, you know, like sort of making my rounds, or people came up to me, and I remember Gores just looking at me and saying, "Hey, as long as you're happy." And I'll never forget that. That meant a lot to me, because like, he knew I was mentally drained and I was ready to move on. And I remember he said that. But I bumped into him last year at the Deutschtown Music Festival, for you Pittsburghers out there.
Oh, right.
It's
on.
Now the Northside Music Festival is mm-hmm. always a good time. And it was great to see him. And he didn't quite say it, but he was like, "Hey, don't be surprised next year if you hear some news." And I knew what he meant. Like, I knew what he meant. And at that point, the Steelers had already had some turnover in the player personnel department. Like Rick Reprish was gone and Bruce McNorton was gone. But yeah, I'm going to cheers Gores right now. You know him. He's always at the, he's always the 40
he's
the, guy.
He's the 40 guy at the combine.
I mean, he is the combine. He is that big of a deal. And cheers to Gores.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll be discussed next year at the combine.
Well, no, actually, he says he still wants to be the guy who starts the 40 at the combine.
Oh,
but he's no longer a Steelers employee, so he has to get approval from the combine board of directors, whatever the hell that is.
Yeah, they better grandfather him in.
No shit.
You would hope, right?
There will be a lot of pissed off people. Like,
it would hurt ratings.
He's an icon.
I agree. Do you remember when he kicked the camera guy out?
Yes.
I remember we were sitting there watching that live, and I was like, "Oh, god damn it." I'm like, "This is, because it's gonna be a story." Like, you know, right, it's gonna be a story. But like, he gives a shit about the players, and like, right, the camera dude was, I understand it's the NFL Network and they're covering it, but the dude was crossing the boundaries.
Yeah, he was like, in the bubble, man.
He's like, "Get out of here." I was like, "Oh my god." I was like, "God damn it."
That's great.
This is on TMZ within 15 minutes. Oh, you know? Like,
real quick, ESPN's just reporting that Trubisky will earn $8 million guaranteed the first year of his contract extension here. So
he's going to make that anyway.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what he was going to make. So not exactly breaking news per se.
So then does that lower his cap hit though?
Yes. I'm okay. sure. So then that's okay. the only point of doing the extension.
So they're giving him more money up front.
Well, they take the $8 million he was going to make anyway. They take seven of it, or a little more, a little less than seven, because he's got to make the minimum salary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
A little less than seven. Yeah. They turn the whole thing into a signing bonus. Then they guarantee the remainder, so he gets the whole eight guaranteed. That's the deal. Okay. Then they tack two more years on top of that, and that's mm-hmm. how they lower the hit. So I'm gonna say his cap hit this year is somewhere. Well, let's just do some quick math while we're talking about this.
Here's a guy that knows how to use a calculator.
He's a great calculator.
You know, I don't like looking ahead, but we're talking about
it's about
it, but
it's about 3.4 million as four. down from no, I'm sorry. Because he's got some more money tied up in that. So it'll be plus the dead money from the contract before. So it'll go from about 10 million to about 5 million.
Okay. Okay.
So, you know,
it helps.
I mean, I would say this too. I know it's not about Mitch, but, you know, a couple years ago, they cut Landry Jones. Remember that? Like, that was a surprise cut. Remember?
Yeah.
And they did they keep Dobbs that year?
They kept Dobbs. Yeah. And then I was actually disappointed about that. I'll be honest with you. I still to this day will maintain that if Landry Jones had come in that day, that Dobbs came in for Ben in Oakland,
the X-ray
we would have won that fucking game.
Yep.
Landry was never stellar. Okay.
No, he
was steady. He was steady. Yeah. He was a steady presence and capable. Dobbs fucking stunk it up. Dobbs could do some things, but that day he was terrible.
He made the one good throw in the Baltimore game when Ben left the game.
Yeah,
Dobbs made that one great throw.
Did some things, man. He did. Yep. There's no question. Dobbs was kind of an up and down player. High highs, low lows.
Where'd he go? Cleveland. Did he go back to Cleveland?
He's back in Cleveland.
He's back in Cleveland. I think Cleveland actually released him last year.
And then he started that make or break game for the Titans.
Yeah.
And threw a fucking check down on fourth and like 10.
That's right.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, like he probably was just like, fuck, I got nothing else, man.
I'm going to go do some rocket science.
It's like, there's nothing else open. This is the option. Take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. And then the Browns re-signed him in the offseason. He's back.
So getting back to that point, you know, maybe other teams in the preseason have some injuries at quarterback, and maybe they could trade Mason. I know people were saying they're going to try to trade Mitch, but I don't know. I'm just saying.
To be honest with you, I don't think they'll trade either one of them.
No, I think my guess
is that Mason has been added back in a veteran benefit deal.
Okay. Are you complimenting him? Hold on.
No.
Let it be known.
Saying, okay. I'm saying it's a much better value than like the $3.5 million they paid him last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So what the way he counts, they can give him up to, I think it's 115,000. It varies every year. I need to refresh on these, what the bonuses are. So it's like $115,000 signing bonus. Plus they pay him the minimum salary for his number of years of service. This will be his sixth season.
Yep.
And he counts as a fourth-year player making the minimum against the cap. So the Steelers save on the cap. The player gets to keep the signing bonus. That doesn't count against the cap. The player gets all the excess money above and beyond the fourth-year player. So they could sign a guy who's a 10-year vet to this kind of a deal, and he still only counts as a four-year vet.
Okay.
So it helps players that have been in the league for a long time that are expensive keep jobs because those guys still have value. And this is something that NFLPA put in a long time ago.
That's kind smart. Of a win-win. That helps them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of a win-win for everybody. The teams save on the cap and the guys get to keep jobs because those guys, if they're still productive players, they should still be having jobs.
Did they make a rule change about the third quarterback? Will he dress?
Yeah. No, the third quarterback isn't a thing anymore. There are 46 players.
Okay.
There's no longer.
There is
a designated emergency quarterback, but he doesn't have to be a quarterback.
Right.
Right. It could be fucking Zach Gentry. If you do dress a quarterback and designate him as your third quarterback, if he comes in and plays, no other quarterbacks can come back in.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the Purdy situation last year in Frisco, you can dress three quarterbacks any game you want.
Yeah.
There's no rule against that.
Right. Right.
But this year, I thought that they instituted a rule that if your third quarterback isn't active, you can activate him during the game.
And that's what I'm curious about.
That may
about.
Be a new thing. I'm not sure.
I thought they, here, let me look.
Because then you would dress 47 technically.
Right.
That guy would be standing on the sidelines. He just wouldn't have a helmet. And I mean,
Mason always wears his helmet.
That's not a big deal. I mean, well, you know, Mason's got the headset on. I mean, just like all the rest of the quarterbacks.
They tabled it until May.
That's the owners' meetings are coming up next week, I think.
So basically what they're saying is they're gonna allow for a 47th player to dress.
Yeah.
But he won't be officially active unless he gets activated. But he will be in uniform on the sideline.
So right now, until they
either go, way, the guy's getting paid. So whatever.
I'm just curious. You know.
Yeah, that was. I think it was 2010. They stopped that third QB rule where they put it on the team. The onus was on the team to dress three QBs.
Right. Right. No.
New CBA after the 2010 season. It was 2011. Yeah.
So you know, I mean, that whole fucking, that Purdy situation was nuts. But I mean, yeah, it's, you know, risk reward.
You have to wonder how that guy is going to come back after tearing ligaments like that, if he's going to be capable. I think that those guys trying to get rid of that kid, shit, who's the kid they drafted? What's his name?
Trey Lance.
Really.
He sucks.
He's not good, but I think getting rid of him and writing him off is a bad idea, given the fact that you don't know how healthy Purdy's going to be.
Well, I think getting the Niners week one is a huge advantage for us.
Oh, fuck. Yes. Huge now, don't get advantage. Me wrong. That is That's a really good roster.
Oh, hell yeah. It is.
Everywhere except quarterback. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a 12-9er. 12-9.
It could be. It's going to be like 13-10. Yeah. Yes. No, I agree with you. It's going to be a running game battle in a humid day in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yep. It'll be warm. No doubt about it. Sherry just asked, where do we rank Najee as far as running backs in the division?
In the division? Second.
Yeah. I
who you got at one?
Nick Chubb.
Healthy
Nick Chubb.
You got Najee too?
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe Mixon's pretty good.
Joe Mixon's getting cut.
Didn't he already get cut or is
no.
he?
No.
No? Okay. Yeah, it's hard. I mean, Chubb has that ability to.
Oh, it's definitely Chubb. Yeah. But I mean, but Najee too, I don't know.
I think Najee is second, and I think he's going to be even better this year than he was last. I'm not breaking news here by telling you that the offensive line is going to be much better at run blocking this year than they were last. But that's going to give Najee Harris getting to the second level constantly is going to make him a good fucking back.
If they don't run the football, it's a fucking travesty.
I agree.
I
wish that they had more late season games at home in the fucking cold run game is important.
Yep.
That would give us an advantage.
That was my biggest gripe about the schedule. I do not like that part.
I've never called him Trent Richardson, but I was definitely hard on him early on last season. Yeah. But I think he was playing hurt, and I think they asked him to play hurt. But I'm telling you, man, after the bye week, that dude was a fucking horse.
Yeah.
And he won that, in my opinion. He won that Raiders game for him.
Yeah.
And that I know Pickett threw the touchdown, but he was really good in that Ravens game against Harris, a good defense.
Yep. Harris did a great job against a very good defense. I agree with you on in that Ravens game, and he kept them in it. Now, don't get me wrong. Pickett, when it was time to perform, came through. And I really appreciate the fact that in crunch time, when there's not a lot of fucking time to think, you just have to react.
Right.
He came through. So props, respect to Pickett. Pickett is not a finished product yet.
No.
I'm not going to sing his praises here and tell you all that he's going to be the fucking league MVP next year, like Steelers Twitter wants me to do. I'm not.
Well,
it's still wait and see with Pickett, but his late season, late game heroics were encouraging, right? Can we say that?
Yeah. You know, Derek, a good friend of ours here, he's done some stuff for our website, and he's primarily with SI.com now, but he had a thing, I think it was today or yesterday, where, you know, just looking at Pickett's tape from the first start to the last, I mean, it's just a completely different player at quarterback.
Yeah.
And that's what you want.
Better.
Yeah. You want to see a guy progress, for sure.
Yeah. And I think that this year he'll continue that. I really do believe that, but I agree with exactly what Scarpe said before. If they do not run the ball this year a lot, it's a fucking tragedy.
And also, I'm going to just tell the fans here. I'm going to grab a beer here in a second. But also, if you're Matt Canada, this is probably your last shot to prove that you're half decent or half competent.
No doubt about it.
And if you want to do that, if you can establish a run game, you will win the hearts of a lot of Steelers fans.
Eh.
You don't think
that? I think that what Canada has to do this year, because the run game will be naturally improved on the strength of the offensive line additions. Okay. Broderick yes. Jones as a run blocker is a fucking beast. Sayamalu as a run blocker is a star. He is ridiculous. Darnell Washington as a run blocker. Look, just fucking get out of the way. Just lay down, because this kid's going to smack the shit out of you. So let's say you go strong side left and you run the ball around that side. Holy shit. They're just going to bludgeon people. They are just going to fucking bludgeon
people. I think that's Tomlin's goal.
So that is hat on hat, beating the man in front of you, just kicking his ass. Like Casey Hampton used to say, sometimes it's just about kicking the ass of the man in front of you. That was Casey. Sometimes it's just about that.
God,
right?
That guy was fucking great, man. I miss him.
Wasn't he? Jesus. Good luck. Good fucking luck. Yeah, doubles. Yeah, whatever. He's like, yeah, no, you're not running this way. Nope. That fucking guy. Oh, it's that. Run game is just hat on hat.
Yeah.
Getting the guy out of the fucking way, making room for your running back so he can get up the field, right?
Well,
passing game is where Matt Canada is going to have to prove himself.
Yes.
Which means he's going to have passing concepts that work in the NFL, which he doesn't fucking have. I'm sorry. He doesn't have them. Okay. Unless he went to offensive coordinators camp in the offseason and learned how to call a new offense, I don't fucking see it. Sorry.
Well, and Sherry hit it. You hit it. Play action is going to be huge. They got to run the ball, and that will set up play action, making his concepts a little bit better. But yeah, if he doesn't have the concept, it's not going to matter. And by concepts,
his route concepts are shit. The problem.
You've got to get guys in open space. You've got to get guys going in different directions. You've got, it's just at different times. And
bracket DJ all year last year.
Yeah.
And fans would criticize him for running these comeback routes or hitch routes as though he chose to fucking run that route. Like that was what he chose to run.
Right.
He was told to fucking run that. Yeah. And defenses were just like, yeah, okay, whatever. We'll let him catch the ball and then we'll limit the yards after the catch. We'll just bracket him both sides and then he won't be effective. And lo and behold, he fucking wasn't, because Matt Canada cannot get him in open space. As you just pointed out, Mark, I completely agree with you. Yeah. You got a guy who should be making people miss, getting downfield, and he can't because our guy can't get him in the open field and get him the ball.
Right. And to me, that is cautionary tale number one as to why fans need to pump the brakes on Kenny Pickett throwing for 35 touchdowns.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And being the MVP.
That and the really improved run game.
Right. Slow the hell down, people. He's coming off 7-9, for God's sake.
I know. Fans want him to be Patrick Mahomes so bad, and it's definitely not going
to
happen.
They want him to be Dan Marino.
And you know, Steelers fans shit on Joe Burrow, and that it's what it is. But like, if Pickett can get to Burrow's level, that'd be huge. But what you need to do is you need to set him up for success. And in my opinion, that'd be wonderful if he threw for 30 something touchdowns.
Of course,
it was MVP. But I'm going to tell you this right now. Last Steelers to win an MVP was Terry Bradshaw in 1979. And so it's like
people 28 were actually like, touchdown passes that year, by
what
the
do
way.
You say?
28 TD
That's
passes
what I'm saying.
That year.
So like Steelers fans are acting like Steelers get named MVP every year. Like it's no big deal. Like he's going to be the MVP this year. It's like, how about this? How about he strives to be Steelers MVP, right?
You know what I mean? Right?
Like, I'll take that. Fuck.
And I'm going to say this, like, and I say like,
How about if he strives to be Steelers' offensive MVP?
And I think people get so pissed off when you just try to like put things in perspective. But like to me, and this is Kenny Pickett is a game manager. That doesn't mean you can't be successful and you can't get to that point.
Right.
It also doesn't mean though, Scarp, that he won't progress beyond where he's at now.
And I'm not saying he won't, but I don't think he's ever going to be that guy that throws 30 something touchdowns. I just really don't.
I don't think so either. And that's okay. I agree with you.
But you know, like Alex Smith was a game manager, and Alex Smith had a really good career considering where he was drafted and
Kirk
how
Cousins
he was,
is a game manager.
And Kirk Cousins, he also has Justin Jefferson, but you know what?
Yeah.
The best thing you can do for Pickett, especially still, he's only a second year guy, is to run the football, set up the play action, give him some easy wins.
We were talking about this before, and you alluded to the 30 touchdown thing, and you, Mark, you did as well. Mm-hmm. If you're inside the 10-yard line and you've just spent all this fucking money on the offensive line and invested a first-round pick in an offensive tackle, are you going to throw the ball? You got first and 10 at the 9. Are you going to throw the ball?
Better not.
I'm not.
I mean, I think that's really what this is about. I mean, look at all of the years that we've had in the last 10 where we could not run the football inside there.
Right. Or stop the run. And this draft and free agency both reflected that.
Yes. And I we can say it's Andy White all we want to, but I at the same time think Mike Tomlin is not dumb. Mike Tomlin realized we're getting beat up front and we've got to change things there.
But I think they put together a team of really good guys.
Yeah.
And they've been smart about amassing that team.
Yep.
And you know, it's working. I think now, granted, what I want to see is some results, but the guys they brought in, not only during free agency, but also in the draft, were fucking impressive. And I'm sorry, I wasn't on the show last week. So I want to throw one thing in, and I'm going to change the subject completely.
Yeah, go for it. Go for it.
We got the two Thursday night games, right?
Yeah.
This year. Which sucks because you get to play in a short week.
Yep.
Luckily, the two Thursday night games are at home.
Yep.
After home games on Sunday. So there's no travel involved, which is a little bit easier on the players. But what that does afford you is a mini bye every time you have a Thursday night game. So after those Thursday night games, the players come in for treatment on Friday, and then they're off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
Yep.
They have 3 days off to just relax. Recoup, just have some time off to themselves, right?
Yep.
Given the fact that they have a week 6 bye, which is very fucking early in a 17 game season, but 18 week season.
Yeah.
Having those two mini byes may be beneficial. Having to pay for those mini buys by having two Thursday games sucks.
You're right.
But there is an upside to it.
Ben, I said that last week. I didn't even play. And dude, those Thursday night games sucked because you had to hurry up and do shit in a shorter period of time.
Yeah, it's a hell of a turnaround.
Knowing that like you had a Saturday and Sunday that were half normal and like you could like not fucking be there the whole day. It was unbelievable. I've been with the missus now for forever, but like, I'd be like, hey, we can get breakfast on Saturday because I don't have to be anywhere. You know what I mean?
These guys look forward to it.
For the players, like, again, I didn't fucking.
So where'd you go? Eaton Park?
No, man.
Just kidding. I'm sorry.
Doorstop. Don't shit on Eaton Park. Eaton Park is a Pittsburgh stable, but Doorstop.
Eaton Park is not good, dude. You know it.
Doorstop in Dormont. Who's my Pittsburgh people out there? Doorstop in Dormont.
Doorstop is good. You need to go there.
Our place is Kelly O's. Kelly O's is there's one in the Strip. There's one in Cranberry. And then there's one in Ross. That's where we are. But Kelly O's is delicious. Jason Momoa ate there and he tagged Kelly O's in it. They have it Momoa style where you can get home fries with sausage gravy on top. That's
what oh god, style. That sounds delicious.
And That's now I know why women love him so much. Not only is he just you know a god, but yeah. you know a god, but he has sausage gravy on his potatoes. I'm just saying.
You know, this Kelly O sounds like it might have some potential as a yeah, sponsor of something here.
I'm just saying that Kelly O's maybe a place that I should go to the next time I'm in.
Man, you're not kidding, man.
Fucking A, dude.
That's I mean, what you could do is you could come to the one near me and meet me in person. I'm just saying.
Well, yeah, I'll definitely be meeting you in person regardless.
That'll you had me at fries and sausage gravy.
Not fries. Hash browns or
hash browns. Potato. I'm sorry.
Although yeah. you do live in the North
Hills. I'm sorry. Home fries or shredded potatoes. My bad.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. Yeah.
So since you're a North Hills guy, right?
Yes, North Hills.
So that's a drive for you.
For me? Where? I was
wherever the fuck I'm going to be in town.
It ain't a drive. Listen, man, I'll cross any river. I'll go through any tunnel. Where's I don't give a shit.
Where are the Portland Steelers faithful? Have they found a game they're going to this year?
Vegas and Seattle.
Okay, so you're not coming into Pittsburgh this year?
Maybe. You never know.
Did you come in last year?
You know, we keep talking. No. And we keep talking about like doing an SCB game in Pittsburgh. So.
Right.
You know, we should explore that possibility. I'm just saying.
Absolutely. As soon as I get this kid graduated next week and out the freaking door, then my time becomes much better. Yeah. Ship him off to college. I got a question for you guys. I don't know if you guys saw this. Cam Hayward this week is advocating that Martavis Bryant get reinstated to the NFL after all his troubles and everything. And
all he's got to do is reapply.
Well, that's kind of what I thought. I didn't think there was any type of hurdle other than just a reapplication. Has he been playing at all? Where's he been playing?
I thought he's on an XFL team.
XFL? Okay.
Canada. He was in the XFL and also Canada. And, dude, that guy was crazy talented. I mean.
No, just unbelievable.
I've never. Yep. Yeah.
Fucking ridiculous. Like, I really thought he was going to be better than AB. I was like, that is fucking ridiculous. Like, Ben pulls the guy aside and says, you need to take the next step and become the best in the world. I mean, he was scary talented and didn't know it, didn't realize it. Like, even talked about it. He was like, you know, I was just in college. I didn't really practice much or like play hard or whatever. I just show up and fucking ball out on Saturdays.
Yeah. No, I mean, you could see that on Sunday. I mean, some of the stuff that he did.
Grab the ball in the middle field and then he's got four guys around him and all of a sudden I'm like, what? How did the fuck did that just happen?
Yeah. Scarps.
Yeah. I want to look this up, but I remember when we drafted him. As soon as I saw him in person, I was like, wow, like holy shit, like this dude is like unbelievable. And he was really, really polite, soft-spoken. He just did not have the best people in his corner. And, you know, that's just life. So I remember he didn't play until Monday night at home against Houston. I think he had a shoulder injury, but also I think they just weren't trustworthy. They didn't trust him enough.
Right.
And then in his first five games, he had six touchdowns. And I remember being like, I won't be like, maybe you should fucking trust the guy. You know what I mean? Like I remember like I used to meet with Coach Todd, but I asked Todd, dude, I was like, this guy's unbelievable. And Todd was like, the sky's the limit. And I was like, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck are we like what the fuck are we doing? Right? Like, yeah.
Didn't he have wasn't one of his touchdowns like on an end around where he went like 70 yards or something like that? I can't remember. He caught a short pass and just turned it into a. I mean, it was just
yeah, a game of beauty. He caught a
against short Arizona.
Pass against yeah. the Cardinals. Exactly. Against
and Landry Jones was a quarterback.
He had that's right.
Four guys in his vicinity.
Yep.
None of them got him and he was gone. I was like, how the fuck? One, first, how did those four guys miss you? How did that just happen?
Yeah.
And second, the way he ran away from people, I'm gonna throw a little. You guys are gonna say this is hyperbole. It was like Randy Moss, the way he ran.
Now, away oh no, from that's dude. What he always reminded me of.
Listen, I was like, what in the fuck? This yeah. guy is gonna be better than AB. This is dude. This is a fourth round pick. And then yeah. you learned about all of, you know, the issues yeah. with mental so, health and everything else, and it was like, okay, that's why he was a fourth round pick.
So his rookie year, they didn't either. He was hurt slash they didn't trust him, and he was great his rookie year. He suspended the first four games of 2015. Doesn't play against at San Diego. Plays for his first game of the season in 2015 against the Cardinals. He has 6 for 137 and 2 touchdowns. And Landry Jones threw him both touchdowns.
That's right.
And then that whole postseason, he was money. And he was yeah. and AB was hurt after the perfect hit.
Yeah.
And he caught he caught that ball in Cincinnati with caught like his ass. His
legs. Yep.
And like
oh yes. Yes.
He caught it with his ass. And like I'm like, what the? I mean, like, and then crazy. He was suspended all of 2016.
Right.
And yep. it's just like, what? It's like, oh my God. Like when the dude was available and into it, he was unreal.
Ben nailed it, and you nailed it too. I think Ryan he just did not have good people around him. No.
Even the baby mama with the social media posts, all that shit. Yeah. It was not good, man.
No,
it was. No. It was getting embarrassing. I'm just gonna go ahead and say it.
It was
like, and I you get to the point where you see somebody going through something like that, and you feel bad for them.
Yeah.
By the same token, it's like, well, I mean, she does have your kid.
Right.
Well, who the hell did we draft? We drafted somebody and he was like, that's not my replacement. That's Sammy Coates' replacement. Remember that?
Yeah. Juju.
Juju, wasn't it?
Yes. And I was still there at the time. And I was thinking, I was still there. It was 2017. I left camp in 2017.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing that. I'd be like, you literally were just suspended the whole fucking 2016 season, and you're already like, this is what you want people to remember you for. Like, this is what you want people to think about you. And I'm like, come on, man. Like, and he was so harmless. Like,
Tomlin had suspended him for a game for social media posts.
Yes.
He sat his ass down, did not dress him for a week. Well, didn't suspend him.
Right. Just sat him.
Suspend him. He sat him, didn't dress him for a week. He still got paid. Didn't dress him for a week because of social media, which he acknowledged to the media standing in front of him.
Yeah.
That it was an issue and that he shouldn't do things like that. And then he fucking posted that. I was like, dude, what the hell?
And then John Gruden was like, I tell you what, man, I can turn this guy around, man.
That's great.
Remember that?
That was like, great.
I mean, like, yeah, still dad, we got Casey.
Okay. No, it's just there's so many guys in pro sports that were just uber talented, and because of lack of maturity, the people they surrounded themselves with just never became what they could have been. And
kind of like me on this show here, super
talented. You know, I was just going to reference that.
Surround myself with, or just
yeah, like, I was just going to reference that. As a matter of fact, how do you guys think they're going to use Darnell Washington this year? Do you think they're just going to stick him out there and be like, "Hey, you're our sixth blocker"? Do you think they're going to actually use him as a receiving threat? What do you think?
What do you think, Scarps?
Ben, I don't know if you were on the show when I said this, but I hope that's not the case, because he reminds me of a Jermaine Gresham, and I'm gonna stand by that. Gresham was a little bit smaller, but he was but he was a big athletic tight end. I really, really hope they utilize him in the red zone. So I'll say this: if they're at the first and goal at the 9,
yeah,
and Darnell Washington isn't in the game, they better run the ball. If he's in the game, I can see them utilizing him.
That's the beauty of having a player like Darnell Washington is you line him up tight. You line him up tight to your tackle, and he could
block. He gets loose.
He could block.
Yeah.
And he could also just chip and run a route. And you don't fucking know.
No.
So you have to account for him in the backfield because that guy can do either. Where if you have a Zach Gentry, it's kind of like, they're probably not going to throw him the ball. Let's not even cover him. Let's see. What do we got? Who else is out here? I mean, I'm just being frank. I'm just being honest. Yep. I mean, I don't see Washington as a guy who's going to run away from many people. What he's going to do is run them the fuck over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And enjoy doing it. And don't get me wrong, he tested well. He's
a good athlete. Yep.
He's got good straight line speed, but he's not a real shifty guy, right? He's not a guy who's got good change of direction, side to side speed. He's got his power, big ass hands. He is gigantic. Have you seen how small a football looks in his hands?
Holy. I saw how small a blocking dummy looked in his hands the other day.
Shit.
Jesus.
I will say this, though. You are allowed to use the middle of the field.
You are.
And if you got a small coverage guy on him in the middle of the field, why not?
Maybe you should send Matt Canada a note, maybe an email or a text about this. Just give him some ideas.
He's still the coordinator. Yeah.
Because.
No, that's true.
He sucks. And he doesn't like to throw the ball in the middle of the field. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah. Well, that's
middle
better.
Of the field is not an area we like to go to.
Yeah.
Why cover that? Because they're not going to go there anyway. Fuck it. Yeah. Cover two outside. We're good.
Yeah. He's just too big of a weapon not to use. I suspect early on he'll be a blocker, but I
don't think that they're going to hand either one of those guys, Broderick Jones or Darnell Washington, spots right out of the gate.
Oh, no.
I don't see it. I don't see JPJ getting a spot right out of the gate. I don't see Keanu Benton definitely not getting a spot right out of the gate. I see Benton playing. I see Benton potentially being the starter at nose tackle. But that's a very, very limited number of snaps. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no.
Let me ask you guys one more question, then we'll get to Casey tonight. But do you think the release of Witherspoon, the timing of it had anything to do with what they saw from the rookie camp? Do you think they were happy with Trice? And again, he's a seventh round pick, so despite being kind of a third round grade guy, but I mean, the timing was kind of odd to me of when they released Witherspoon. You know, why not have done it before? Why not have waited? Give him a chance in camp. I don't know. It just seemed like they must have seen something that they liked and thought, hey, you know what? It's time to let him go. Or
they saw something they didn't like from a health standpoint.
And that very well could be too.
He could have been shitty too about it and been like, you know, I'm good. Let me go. I'll go somewhere else.
Yeah. It's very possible. I don't know. I mean, we have to remember that Corey Trice is a seventh round pick, and you know there have been plenty of seventh rounders that have made NFL rosters, but at the same time, there's plenty that don't get through training camp. And he looks the part. He had some injuries. I think most people had third round grade on him, but it's not as easy just to say, oh yeah, they liked him, so they got rid of Witherspoon. I don't think it's that easy anyway. But
I don't think that anybody on it within the Steelers organization is counting on Corey Trice being a big contributor at corner this year.
No,
I think if Corey Trice makes the team, it's going to be because he plays special teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Get in good with Mr. Bubblegum. That's the way to do it. Mr. Casey Kasem, you are up.
Casey's coast to coast, American top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was May 18th, 1989. Ryan let me know he's taking this week off, but we have a special correspondent this week. Mason Rudolph from Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, I've been alone with you inside my mind, And in your dream, and in my dreams, I've kissed your lips 1,000 times. I sometimes see you pass outside my door. Hello, Steelers Nation. Is it me you're looking for? Just when you thought you'd never have to see me carry a clipboard again on game days, I'm back into your life like a crazy ex-girlfriend that just so happened to be standing in your driveway about to light your car on fire. Nah, yeah. There's a lot that goes on inside his mind. Casey, first and foremost, F. Ben Anderson. Secondly, that Ryan Scarpino seems like a nice fella. Thirdly, I truly don't understand why Steelers Nation hates me. Never once, despite all of the crazy stuff I've had to endure during my career, have I not said or did the right thing. I have better numbers than Jersey Shore himself, Kenny Pickett, the Steelers' first-round draft pick in 2022 that went to the University of Pittsburgh, in case you didn't know. You don't believe me? Okay, let's play a game called Me or Kenny. Who has the most TD passes in his career? Me. I have 9 more TD passes despite throwing 5 fewer footballs. Who has the most multi-touchdown passing games in his career? Me. I have 5. Kenny has 0. Who has been smacked in the head with his own helmet? Hang tight. Don't worry about that. Casey, I just don't get it. The narrative is that I suck. But with Kenny, it's he has grit. He has heart. He's a winner. I mean, I have a better career winning percentage, but who's counting? Steelers Nation, it's all good. I just want you to know that if my number is ever called, I'll be there for you. Well, Mason, thanks for the letter. I feel as happy as a 3rd-round pick with a 1st-round grade. Here's some irony for you. Like this song, you were once number one on the chart, but now you're number 3. Just like our next song, here's Bon Jovi off their album New Jersey at number 3 with I'll Be There For You.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
That was a good one.
Yep. That was, wow. Whew. I catch my breath on that one. Okay.
I have issues.
Well, we all do. We all do. Anyway, thanks so much, everybody, for being with us tonight. We will be back next week, and hopefully Ian will be with us, and hopefully Team Ian is healthy and wealthy, wise, all that good stuff. But thanks as always. Make sure you check us out at steelcityblitz.com. Check us out on Twitter at scblitz, and the podcast is at @scb_. Podcast, so check that out. Check us out on Facebook and of course Instagram and all those other wonderful things. And that's it for us. We're going to get on out of here. Thanks to the guys at Variety Sports Network and of course our wonderful sponsor Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. So we're going to exit, and hey, go Steelers.
Ravens suck.